Log Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, how are you guys doing? Welcome to the Seaman on Sports podcast. Today we're going to be talking about the MLB offseason, what's happened so far, what's going to happen, and to talk about all of that and everything that's gone into it, I'm joined by Frank Mandil. Frank, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Jimmy. I'm just ready to talk some baseball with you today.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's a bit cold outside today, for sure. So baseball is still a little bit away, but actually spring training is about 3 weeks away for the people who are going to be in Florida and Arizona. And there's a lot to talk about. Maybe hasn't been the hottest stove ever, but there still has been a lot of stuff that's happened in general. And so I just wanted to ask you first, we both going to talk about some teams, which right now we're impressed with their off seasons right now. I know I have a few of them, but give me one to start off with. What team's off season have you liked so far, and just kind of what they've done and how it will help them maybe compete in 2019?
Well, the team I look at right off the bat is the Cincinnati Reds. I don't think anybody really saw them being as busy this off season as they have been. But if you look at the moves they've made, I mean, I certainly think they could have their best season in a long, long time. And they're just in a position now where they have the pieces to, I believe, be a 500 team and even maybe, all things line up right, have a shot at that wild card. Like I said, there's a bit of uncertainty just because we don't know sort of how all these pieces will fit together, but I think they have a chance at a big turnaround season. I don't know how you feel about that.
Yeah, I mean, I for the most part have liked what they've done. I think you can justify everything individually they've done. They got Tanner Roark from the Nationals, traded him for kind of like a, just kind of a young reliever, probably someone who wasn't going to be on the roster, get a year of him. They get Alex Wood in that one Dodgers kind of salary dump trade. And they took on more money in that trade, getting Kemp, getting Klee, getting Wood. But the one thing they did do is they got off Homer Bailey, who was basically dead salary to them, and gave them three guys who could compete this year. I really like Alex Wood, too. And then I think the move that I like the most for them was getting Sonny Gray, and not only getting Sonny Gray, but also being able to extend him too. I think teams like the Reds need to do stuff like this a lot, where you kind of buy low a little bit on someone, maybe coming off a not so great year, and then get them under a contract that's affordable for your team moving forward. I mean, if Sonny Gray can bounce back and become the pitcher that he used to be, then having him locked for $10 million a year for the next 4 years is an extremely good deal for the Reds. And that's the kind of deal they need because, the Reds aren't the smallest market of teams. They're not a team who's going to go out and spend a bunch of money. And so I really like that. I mean, they definitely improved themselves for 2019. I mean, you could say, hey, they gave up, prospects for guys who may be one-year rentals, especially in the Dodgers trade. But, a guy like Puig, a guy like Wood, they don't necessarily have to be one-year rentals if you can re-sign them. I don't think they're quite good enough to be competing, for a division title. The NL Central is really tough. I think, the Cubs, while they've been quiet, are still really good. The Brewers are a really young, up-and-coming team. One game away from going to the World Series last year. And the Cardinals have improved themselves, too. But it's just one of those things where they're able to improve themselves, not spend a ton of money, overpay for maybe a guy like Dallas Keuchel per se, who probably would cost more and is a little bit older. They're able to do that without giving up really any of their top prospects, like the three or four guys they really wanted to hold on to. So, and I respect it. I mean, the Reds, they haven't been good the last 5 years. I think they were just tired of just, being kind of at the bottom of the division. And, they're going to be at least respectable this year. Now, Gray and Wood and Roark could all be guys who, could have down years again. You know, they're capable of kind of being up and down, but it definitely, I mean, the Reds' rotation in the last couple of years has been the worst in baseball. And so the fact that they could even get guys who are, you know, marginally good pitchers, you know, pretty average pitchers for the most part, that's just a huge upgrade for them. So, I mean, and if you look at their team, I mean, they have a good lineup already too. They have some underrated players. So, I mean, I like what they've done because they didn't really sacrifice that much for the future to really get better now. They kind of traded guys that they didn't think that much of or that were kind of blocked in their system.
Right, and the way I look at it, like you said, you know, those three pitchers, Gray, Roark, and Wood, could have down years, but I think there's enough potential there to get excited about and just, you know, to finally give maybe Joey Votto, you know, something to work with. I think that would be pretty cool. But, and like you said, the Reds definitely have, you know, Votto. They have Eugenio Suarez. Like, they definitely have pieces to put something together here, and I'm excited to see kind of what they can do, you know, with some players in place for the first time in a while, it feels like.
Yeah, you know, Suarez is good. You know, you have Scooter Gennett, who some people didn't know what they were going to move off from him this offseason, but he looks like he's going to stay. You know, Scott Schebler, Winker, okay bats in the outfield. And they have a good bullpen, too. I mean, they signed Iglesias to an extension this offseason. A lot of people thought he was going to be traded. Amir Garrett is another good guy. Jared Hughes on their bullpen. I mean, they have kind of like the making of a good team. Their starting pitching was so bad, especially these last 2 years, that it really prohibited them from competing. So, I mean, they're at least going to be watchable this year. And they're a team where, you know, maybe they kind of fall out of it at the end of the year. But I think for Reds fans, they're at least going to be competitive. And I do think that means something. Like, I think sometimes we do get to these points where teams will say, well, if we're not going to win our division, we shouldn't try to spend any money. We shouldn't try to get any better. But there's nothing wrong with slowly building and being like, hey, you know, we got to 500. That's an actual, you know, improvement. I mean, the Reds have, you know, been bad enough for the last 5 years. They don't need more prospects. They don't need higher draft picks. They kind of just need to take the right step forward. So, you know,
Absolutely.
You know, you can kind of, you know, say, hey, you know, with the Dodgers trade, they gave up two prospects that, you know, like some people like. But at the end of the day, you know, they were trading completely dead salary in Homer Bailey, and they took on more money coming back to help the Dodgers. But, you know, Puig, I mean, he's still a really good player. I mean, he's someone who, you know, I always thought the Dodgers kind of messed around with too much. I mean, he's someone, if you look at him, like, per, like, 500 at-bats, he's like a 4 or 5 win player. I know he doesn't hit lefties that well, really, for his career. He has, like, reverse splits. But, I mean, he's a guy who, like, I'm excited to see Yasiel Puig get, like, 600 at-bats in a season. Because he really hadn't had that opportunity the last couple of years with the Dodgers, who are very, like, platoon-focused. And rightfully so, they're really good. But it's going to be nice to see, like, Puig actually play every day. He's still, like, one of the more exciting players in baseball.
Absolutely. I can't wait to see what happens there.
Definitely, definitely. So I had the Reds on my list, too, of teams that I was impressed by this offseason. Another team, and I, you know, don't mean to be too much of a homer, but I have to say that, like, what the Nationals have done this offseason has been impressive. I think they've addressed every need they have pretty much outside of, you know, some ancillary things, like maybe a fifth starter or maybe, you know, another, you know, like, light bullpen piece. But if you look at what they needed going into the offseason, they needed starting pitching, they needed a second baseman, they needed some bullpen help, and they really needed just, like, anything at catcher because they had gotten the worst production out of catcher the last, you know, 2 seasons. I mean, they were terrible. And so they go out, they sign Patrick Corbin, give him a 6-year, $140 million deal, which I'm sure he's glad he signed because, you know, his market right now, if he would have tried to wait it out, wouldn't have been as good. But they didn't mess around. They got the best pitcher on the market. They go out and they get Trevor Rosenthal, get Kyle Bearclaw to help their bullpen. Again, you know, not for sure options. Rosenthal is coming off of, you know, a Tommy John surgery. Bearclaw is, you know, a guy who has control issues. But, you know, guys who are, you know, who have the opportunity to actually be really, really good difference-making relievers. They get, not only do they get Kurt Suzuki, but they also get Yan Gomes. And if you talk about a good, you know, a catcher tandem, I think one of the things they looked at said, you know, they could have gone out and gotten a big guy like Grandal or gotten a big guy like Wilson Ramos. But they kind of were like, you know what, we'd rather have two really good catchers, you know, who can kind of split time, especially for Suzuki, who's older in his career. And then I think the one that I kind of just like the most in general was getting Brian Dozier on a 1-year, $9 million deal. I mean, we're talking about from 13 to 17. This guy was probably arguably one of the best second basemen in baseball, a guy who could, you know, hit 40 home runs from that spot. He had a down year last year, no doubt about it, especially when he went to the Dodgers. He really struggled. But this is a guy who is, you know, he's only 32 years old. He's a bounce-back candidate. They have Carter Kieboom, who's their top prospect as of right now, who, you know, is going to be a second baseman who is probably going to come up next year. So they didn't want to sign anyone long-term. But Dozier's a nice guy who, I mean, he has bounce-back ability, and he's, you know, a real difference maker. You know, if they're going to lose Harper, which I think they will, they really needed to kind of replace some of the power they lose when Harper leaves the lineup, and Dozier was a really good option for them there, especially out of the plethora of second base options that they had. And then only having to commit 1 year to him too, I think was really important to them as well. And so whether or not Harper comes back, it remains to be seen, but I think they've set themselves up right now to where if Harper doesn't come back, they're fine with it. And if he does, well, you know, they kind of figure it out from there. And if he was going to come back, it was always going to be about ownership being willing to spend all the money anyways. And so right now, I guess they're a little bit over the luxury tax. They paid it last year, but you know, luxury tax really isn't that big of a deal as long as you're not going tons of money over it. So, I mean, they signed Anibal Sanchez too. Guy, you know, bounced back last year. I wasn't a huge fan of that, but you know, he wasn't that relatively costly, and they're kind of hoping that he's kind of turned things around. But really, I'm just impressed with what they've done, and they've spent by far the most money this offseason of every team. I mean, they've spent more money just on Corbin than 15 other teams have even spent, you know, in the league in general. So, again, I may be a homer, but I really like what they've done. You know, they've addressed pretty much all the weaknesses they needed to address off the bat. And, you know, if they need to add something in season, they can. But, I mean, this is a team that wants to win, and their owners, you know, aren't sitting there crying poor like other people's owners. They're willing to spend right now.
Absolutely. And like you said, you know, this is most likely going to be the start of the post Bryce Harper era. And when I look at this roster, I'm actually excited by the outfield. You have Soto, who came up last year and was great. You have Robles, the rookie, in center field. And then you have a healthy Adam Eaton. So I think, yes, Harper's probably gone, but I think there's a lot to be excited about in the outfield and in general. You know, if you think about it, it would be like sort of a sick joke if the Nationals were to make some sort of run this year and like get past that first round and make it into the NLCS and stuff like that without Harper. But like I said, you know, Harper was great for them, and you know, he's most likely moving on. But they have two young outfielders, and you know, Trey Turner, who like we all know, can steal bases and hit for average, and Dozier, you know, the two of them up the middle, I think that's a great combination. And it just, there's a lot here to be excited about. You know, the Phillies have made their own moves, and of course the Mets with Cano and Diaz. So I think this is going to be a division to watch certainly this year, along with the AL East, I would think.
What did you particularly think about the Patrick Corbin deal? Because, I mean, I think they're really banking on him, you know, him being how he was last season, which is probably his best season. And I also just kind of hoping that he gets better moving forward. I don't want to say like a Max Scherzer, but, you know, Scherzer's best seasons have come as a National, and they're kind of hoping that Corbin's is the same way. You know, it's hard. I mean, Corbin's, you know, he's had Tommy John already, which already makes you more susceptible to get it again. I mean, it's a lot of money. And Corbin's a good pitcher, but, I'm not even sure he had the track record that, you know, Yu Darvish did going into last year. And he ended up getting more money than Darvish. And we saw how a guy like Darvish did this offseason. I mean, $140 million is a lot to commit to a pitcher, especially when you're already paying Strasburg $175 million. You have a $210 million contract with Scherzer. I mean, they got their guy, but like, do you think there may be like some buyer's remorse on that, or do you think, you know, they were smart to kind of go get, you know, their guy and not play around?
I mean, when I think it comes to Corbin, I would have to say, you know, he's now in a situation where he's no longer like the one guy that the team leans on. Like in Arizona, he was like the ace, like the whole time. I mean, they had Shelby Miller for a little bit, but I think Miller didn't pitch that well in Arizona. So I think not being the guy that everyone leans on to be like the, you know, the ace of the staff, I think could take some pressure off him. And, you know, he has people to sort of pick him up, whereas like in Arizona, he didn't. Also, just the different climate. I mean, when you're in Arizona, you have like all the, you know, how it's so dry and how that can play havoc sometimes. I think being in D.C. Could do a lot of good things for him. As far as the Nationals spending big on Corbin, you know, people would say, oh, they have Scherzer, they have Strasburg. Why would they go out and spend on Corbin? And I would say to that, maybe it's something to the effect of, well, we wanted, if it came down between Harper and Corbin, well, Harper said no to our $300 million. We offered him $300 million, he said no. So it's sort of like, okay, you know, for a lot less than that, we can get this ace-type guy. Why not go do it? You know, we lose Roark and we lose Gio last year. So it's like, why not bring in this guy who has been an ace in the past? You know, we can slot him. I don't know where they're planning on slotting him, maybe third, and just see how he does when the pressure isn't all on him at the top of the staff. So I think, yeah, it's a lot of money, but I also think the return could be very, very beneficial for the Nationals.
Yeah, I think it'll be definitely an interesting one to watch. It does, you know, I think, you know, initially I was pretty excited about the move just because it makes them better for this year. But it does strike me as one of those deals, maybe the last year or two of that deal, you know, maybe are kind of, you know, gritting your teeth a little bit. But, you know, hey, the Nationals are trying to win right now. And also, you know, they just, you know, they lost Gio. They traded Roark away. And, you know, at that point, I mean, they just don't have a lot of pitching depth on this team. And so signing him, signing Sanchez, they probably need, you know, another starter at this point too. They've developed really good positional players in the minor leagues. They've really struggled to kind of develop the starting pitching. So, yeah, they got the guys that they wanted. I mean, I think in this complete, you know, we talk about the offseason being dead and everything like that. You know, the Nationals approached this offseason like, we're going to go get our guys who we think are good. And now, for the most part, I mean, their team is basically set. You know, whether or not Harper comes back or not. And, you know, the one thing about spending money is if you spend money now, maybe you don't have to give up prospects at the deadline because you're trying to fill a hole at second or trying to get another starter or something like that. And so I think in this offseason when we talk about why aren't teams spending money, I mean, the Nationals, who already have one of the higher payrolls in baseball, you know, continuing to spend money, I think it shows that they do want to compete. And they also see, I mean, you know, we can talk about it, the division they're in is going to be really, really competitive. And two other teams I have on my list, the Phillies and the Mets. I guess we can talk about the Phillies first. I guess their offseason is a little bit incomplete right now. But I think getting Andrew McCutchen, they were aggressive to get him, got him for a little over $50 million, basically trading nothing for Gene Segura. You know, Carlos Santana, who they desperately wanted to dump anyways, and J.P. Crawford, who just wasn't working out for them, for Segura. And I understand maybe he makes a little bit much, but, you know, he's been one of the best 10 or, you know, at least 10 shortstops in the MLB the last three seasons, if not one of the best five. And is a guy who really hits for average. He's a really good player. And that improves their offense. And then you have they signed David Robertson, who literally over the last 10 years has been one of the most consistent relievers ever. You know, Juan Nicasio is in there too. He's not really that important. But I know it's incomplete because, you know, they want to get their hands on either Harper or Machado. But at least, like, so far, I think adding McCutchen, Segura, Roberson, it strengthens their team because they had big holes at shortstop in the outfield, and they needed another reliever. And if you look at this team and with what they have with Rhys Hoskins and with guys like Odubel Herrera, Aaron Nola, Jake Arrieta, I mean, this is a team that has a chance to really, you know, truly compete this year, unlike last year where they may be kind of, in the beginning of the season, outplayed their actual talent.
No, I definitely agree with that. Like you said, I think moving Hoskins back to first is a big deal. I think his natural position will play a lot better for him. And the pieces that are already in play, Michael Franco, Odubel Herrera, like those guys have been good. Like those have been solid players for the last handful of years. So you bring in Segura, you bring in McCutchen, and all of a sudden you have a team that's here to win. And I think Machado or not, and Harper or not, I think this team is very much in the mix in a crowded division. They definitely have a lot of starting pitching. Obviously, it starts with Nola. But I definitely do think that they are a team to look for. I don't, if I had to think between Phillies and Nationals right now, I think I'd still go with the Nationals. But I think the Phillies are definitely right there in the mix, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the one thing that I look at with this team is if you just kind of look at their lineup, they are really kind of missing that one-star bat, which is like if you plug in Machado or plug in Harper, it really just rounds up their lineup in general. If they could go to South... What'd you say?
So in that case, I have a question. Do you think McCutchen could be that bat? Like, do you think McCutchen could find his MVP form, or do you think that's well behind him at this point?
I think that's well behind him. I mean, I think the last 2 years where I guess people have said he's dropped off. I mean, he's dropped off from an MVP caliber player, but he's still, a good, especially now that he plays in the corner outfield and his defense isn't affected. I mean, this guy, he's still like a 3 or 4 win player. His bat still really plays, really great on base percentage, great versus lefties. I don't know if he can be that. I think Hoskins is the one guy, but I even think Hoskins is someone who, like, I think people think he's a little better than he actually is. He's a good player, but I think it's right. The reason they've been wanting to add Harper and Machado is because those guys obviously could help them out. And I don't really think they have anyone in their minor league system who kind of has that star talent too. They have some good players, but that kind of like a star bat that can really carry you, I don't think they have that right now. So they're a good team right now, better than they were last year. But if you want to go from 78 wins to 84, 85 wins, this is probably where that team is. If you want to go from 85 to like 90 wins, getting Harper, getting Machado could do that. Even maybe getting another starter. I mean, they have a lot of depth, but outside of Nola and Arrieta, and I think Pivetta is good too. You could see them using a Dallas Keuchel. You could see them using a Craig Kimbrell if they fall short of either one of those guys. But I think their bullpen has nice depth. I know they've kind of – they're not huge on Franco. His defense has always been – he's okay at the plate. They could also strike me as a Moustakas destination if they don't get either Harper or Machado. But I think it's a good team. I still think, adding a Machado to Harper would put it more over the top for me. But right now they've kind of done what they can, and I think they're going to get either one of Harper and Machado. We can talk about that later. But I think at this point they've set themselves up where they haven't spent any crazy, crazy money like they said they would, at least so far. Let's take it to just another team in the NL East who has been actually extremely active this offseason. Hired a new GM and Brody has been someone who's been extremely active. A lot of people were wondering, are they going to trade DeGrom? Are they going to trade Syndergaard? Well, they did the exact opposite. They kind of doubled down on the team they had. They traded for Robinson Cano and Edwin Diaz, kind of were able to take on the rest of Cano's contract and dump some of the salaries they didn't want, guys like Bruce and Swarzak. And they get Cano, who, even at this point in his career, is still really, really good. You know, they may have to pay for that down the line, but they're trying to compete right now. They get Edwin Diaz, probably like one of the best, you know, relievers in baseball. Signed Jed Lowry.
He's my favorite guy to watch out of the.
Oh yeah, he's just, his stuff is just nasty. They signed Jed Lowry. That was a little bit of a confusing deal. Their infield's kind of crowded, but you know, he's a guy who's actually been pretty underrated the last couple of years. And then they signed Wilson Ramos too, who's probably been the, you know, outside of Realmuto, the best hitting catcher in baseball. And now he has his injury issues. You know, you're probably not ever going to get a full season out of him, but he's a guy when he's actually playing and behind the plate. I mean, he's really, really dangerous as a hitter. You know, and then, you know, you add a Familia too, who you bring back. And I mean, this is a, you know, if DeGrom and Syndergaard is how the rotation and Wheeler and Matz can be, you know, can kind of stay healthy and be themselves, and that's a question mark. But this team has some good pieces. I mean, their lineup, you know, you have Cano, you have Conforto, you have Nimmo, you have Ramos, Lowry. I mean, you know, it's not the, you know, the most glamorous team, but, you know, I think a lot of people thought the Mets were going to maybe try to rebuild, and instead they looked at their two star pitchers and said, you know what, we're going to try to go for it and, you know, build the best possible team we can around them. And I have some respect for that, especially because the Mets have been sometimes unwilling to spend a certain amount of money. So, I mean, I definitely think they've made their team better for 2019. And it doesn't seem like, not that they had that much in the minor leagues to give up, but they didn't really destroy, you know, their minor league system in trying to do so.
Right. And I agree with you there. I do think the Mets were able to, you know, build this team that they have without, like, they didn't tear it down and they didn't, you know, destroy the minor leagues. The thing that stands out to me is, so I guess Todd Frazier is making the move to first base. You know, I don't know how that's going to go, but it, to me, it's like they're going to block. How is playing time between Todd Frazier and Peter Alonso going to work? That's curious to me. And then also, like, Lowry at third, I don't know. He's more of a up-the-middle guy, so I'm just curious from a defensive standpoint, how effective the corners will be. But other than that, I definitely, this is a team that, right there with the Phillies and National. I think this is going to be a very close division. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, who comes out of this one, especially if either the Nationals or the Phillies get Harper. That could certainly, you know, certainly put someone over the top, but right now I think it's pretty close between these three teams.
Yeah, that was the one reason the Lowry signing, if you get Lowry, you move Frazier over to first and block Alonso. I mean, I think just by the end of the season anyways, Alonso is going to be playing there. You know, Frazier, I mean, if anything, Frazier, the good thing about having him at third is he's actually a really good fielding third baseman. And so, you know, we'll see how that translates over to first. I know he's played first before. But I guess right now they're going to keep Alonso down. But I think Alonso is someone who, you know, Frazier isn't good enough that he's going to be really blocking your top talent for long, for the most part. I thought he'd also be in play for Pollock, too. They needed, but outfield is already a little bit crowded, and they still don't really have a real, like, good center fielder. But, you know, they're going to roll with Logaris and Broxton. Just go to one more team then, at least while we're at it. And I had them more on the teams I've kind of been disappointed in what they've done is the Braves. You know, they started off the offseason, they signed Josh Donaldson to a one-year, $23 million deal. And that was met with some criticism because, you know, they already had Camargo there. But, you know, Donaldson is at this point a better player than Camargo. And Camargo is a guy who can play different spots. And so it was an upgrade. I think it was worth it, especially, you know, to get a guy who could be an MVP caliber player. And really since then, it's been just really quiet for them. Signed McCann, brought back Martakas. They were talking all offseason about how they're going to – They want to get a star right fielder. They could be in an Harper. They want to get, like, Mitch Haniger or David Peralta, you know, give them a, you know, another power bat. And, like, I mean, Martakas is fine, but, you know, to settle kind of back for Martakas, especially after the second half he had last year, he just You know, he really, you know, came back down to earth. And I don't know. It just kind of, you know, they're just kind of, you know, bringing the ship back together outside of Donaldson for the most part. And what worries me if I would be a Braves fan right now is that, you know, this team that only won 90 games last year, it's not like they were, you know, a 98-win team. And they did it in a year in which pretty much every team in the NL East was down. Nationals, the Mets, and the Phillies. And, you know, and look, the Braves still have a terrific minor league system. But it just kind of feels like this is kind of the time if you're the Braves to cash in on some of those guys. And it just feels like they kind of just sat back and just kind of said, you know what, we're going to put back the same team we had last year. And the thing that would make me afraid is I do think the Braves have a lot of, like, regression candidates, you know, guys who probably aren't going to have, you know, career seasons again. You can throw Markakis in there. Albies is someone who his second half would worry me. I mean, it's still a really good team, don't get me wrong, but it kind of just feels like they're just saying, oh, we just bring everybody back. We're just going to do nothing. We're going to win the division again. And when you have the Phillies, the Nationals, and the Mets all saying, we're going to, like, you know, shuffle, you know, we're going to actually make some moves to improve our team. I mean, look, you know, they could, you know, still go out there and sign Kimbrel, although their GM kind of basically said that they wouldn't be doing that. They could go out there and they could sign Dallas Keuchel. But as of right now, I just – you know, it's still a good team, but it just kind of feels like they're very complacent, and they're kind of not factoring in that, you know, yeah, again, you're not going to get career years out of, you know, every single person. So, again, you know, a good team, but they still need some bullpen help. They could use another arm in their rotation. It just kind of feels like they're very, you know, content with what they have, and I don't know, that would worry me a little bit, especially because they weren't dominant last year. They were just good.
Right. They, like you said, I think between the Mets, the Phillies, and the Nationals, I think at least two of those teams have jumped the Braves, if not all three of those teams. So I definitely think if I was a Braves fan, I'd be a little bit concerned, especially with the rotation. Yeah, you look at the rotation. Mike Foltynewicz had the great year last year, but, you know, can we expect that again, or was that like a, you know, like a Rick Porcello type of year where he was like one and done? Tehran's been on the regression for a few years now, and I don't see this rotation sort of stacking up to the Phillies and the Mets and the Nationals. So that's my biggest concern. And like you said, just kind of bringing back everybody and just rolling with what they had last year. We'll see how it goes. You know, nothing is, you know, nothing, nobody wins or loses divisions in January. But it certainly looks like, I would say, that they've been leapfrogged by at least two of the three other teams in that division. So it remains to be seen.
Yeah,
and
the thing that would remain, look, and there's an opportunity that could arise that, you know, Donaldson plays with them, plays at an MVP-type form. Everybody kind of gets better. Acuna is like an MVP candidate, and we're both sitting here looking like idiots. I mean, there is a scenario where that plays out, but I really think, you know, their bullpen, you know, hasn't really, you know, they haven't really improved upon that. That was a struggle for them last year. You know, the rotation, again, there's some regression guys. You know, I've never been that huge on Kevin Gausman. I think he's okay, but I feel like they could use another guy. But, yeah, I guess it's just kind of, you know, I mean, it's hard. I mean, when you win your division and you have a bunch of young players starting, you know, Albies and Charte and Acuna and Camargo, it's really easy to just say, well, it's just like their guys are just going to automatically improve. I mean, in all honesty, I mean, the Braves always struck me as a team that could be sneaky on Harper because they needed another power bat. I mean, you kind of saw in the series against the Dodgers, you know, the Dodgers won that series because they were able to hit for power and they were able to create runs. It just seemed like the you know, the Braves were just kind of trying to dink and dunk their way to that. So, I mean, you know, again, it's still a good team, but I'm definitely a little bit underwhelmed with their off season. Let's move over to the AFs, I guess, while we're at it. Say one more thing.
Real quick on the Braves to wrap it up. I think I just I will be curious to see what Brian McCann does bring to the table. Obviously, at this point in his career, we can't expect much. It feels like more of a feel-good signing than anything, but, I mean, he was on a World Series team, what, like 2 years ago, and, you know, he definitely is a leader in the clubhouse. So I'll just be curious to see how they use him and kind of what his role is with this team, especially with all the young guys out there. I guess he's more of a leader than a, you know, an impact guy, but defensively he could probably
yeah,
still have
and Flowers is going to start for them probably. I think they're, and I think that's the other thing. They probably were better at catcher last year with both Suzuki and Flowers, and now they've kind of maybe downgraded a little bit. I want to talk about the Yankees just because, yeah, I've liked what they've done. I'm not overwhelmingly, like, you know, oh, my gosh, they've had this great offseason. But, you know, I really like them signing Adam Ottavino. I thought, personally, Ottavino was the best reliever on the market and kind of someone who's going to age really, really well. They bring back Happ. They, you know, bring back Britton. Trading for James Paxton, I was a really big fan of that. You know, they gave up a guy in Sheffield who, you know, probably wasn't going to be an impact guy for them anyways, and to turn that into a guy who is, you know, probably could be a Cy Young candidate and kind of be the ace that you need is good. You know, DJ LeMahieu, you know, he's a good player, but and he's going to fill in, you know, while Didi is out and Glaver moves over to short, and it gives them a guy who's reliable. You know, I kind of question his core splits a little bit, but, you know, he's still good. It's just and a guy who's more of a contact hitter, maybe they're looking for that in general. And then they also had signed Tuul Risky too. I'm sure Tulo was kind of hoping he would be the automatic starter at short, but I don't think they could have gone into the season with him as the starter at shortstop. I don't think that would have been good enough for them. So, yeah, I mean, there were always questions, you know, are they going to, you know, trade Andujar? You know, what are they going to do, you know, with starting pitching? They were always linked to Patrick Corbin. Corbin obviously went to the Nationals. This is going to be a really, really good team next year. Their bullpen obviously is stacked once again. But then there's also, are they going to be in on Manny Machado? And I always thought, you know, for a long time that the Yankees, no matter what they said, would be, but they seem to have kind of, you know, just kind of been happier making some of these smaller moves. And it's kind of odd to see out of a Yankees team that's so notorious for spending. You just felt like Machado was a really good match, especially because there are questions of, like, how good Andujar is at defense, and because Didi, you know, how long does he even miss this season? Does he come back in May? Does he come back in July? There were a lot of situations that could have played out, but, you know, they kind of went with, you know, a little bit smaller moves, and I think they're really banking that. They're really core guys, Judge and Stanton and Severino, you know, can really kind of bring the star power that this team already has. You're a Red Sox fan. Like, are you more afraid of the Yankees now than you were before, or how do you feel about it?
You know, if I'm being honest, I feel like I am actually more afraid, and here's why. So last year the Yankees won 100 games, and they did so with a team that I think now they're better. Like right now, they're better than they were when they won 100 games, and that scares me. I mean, the Red Sox won 108, but that's like a once in a generation season. So although they at this point they're not getting Harper and they're not getting Machado, and I know that makes a lot of Yankees fans mad, I still think that this team, I still think the divisions is, I think they've closed the gap. I really do. I think the Paxton signing is huge. Bringing Happ back, I think, is another great move. And not to mention the bullpen. Britton and Ottavino are the two best guys out there, maybe other than Kimbrel. And they brought in two guys for the bullpen, and the Red Sox have brought none in. And the Red Sox are still looking for their guy, and it hasn't happened yet. So from that point, I think this team does worry me a bit. I definitely think the Red Sox will come back down to earth this year. Could they win 100 games? Yeah, but I don't think it's going to be, you know, a crazy number like last year. And it's just let me put it this way. If they did get Harper or Machado, I think I'd be, like, scared out of my mind. Like, we're going to lose the division. I think right now it's extremely close. And I feel like they have closed the gap, and that this team is good enough to win the division over the world champs. I really do.
Yeah, I do too, especially because, I mean, I think they've always been good enough, and how good they're going to be is going to, you know, more rely on, you know, their younger guys, you know, kind of reaching higher levels. Although they did really get really good seasons out of Torres and out of Andujar. You know, progression isn't always linear. Yeah, I mean, if you look at the rotation, it's one of the best in the AL. You have Severino, Paxton, Tanaka, Happ, and Sabathia. They have minor league depth. You know, you bring in LeMahieu, who, again, you know, I'm not a huge fan of, but, you know, while Didi is coming back and, you know, you still have a very, very competent infield. You know, Voit is someone I don't really buy a lot of the hype in. I mean, he got very lucky with his, you know, batting average, balls in play, and like his, you know, his fly ball rate was like over 40%, which is just completely unsustainable. You know, maybe I would have added another first base option if I were them, but I mean, that's kind of minuscule. I mean, this is going to be a really, really good team. I actually probably will pick them to win their division. I think the Red Sox will slide back a little bit, maybe a little more than some people expect. Yeah, I mean, it, you know, but again, you know, the Yankees kind of, I guess the way they looked at it too is maybe if they would have signed Harper, maybe that means they don't sign Britton or they don't sign Ottavito or they don't sign Happ. And so, you know, I kind of get what they're doing. Even the Yankees have, you know, drifted into trying to spend a little, you know, better lately. But yeah, no, they've, I mean, you know, look, I mean, this is going to be a really, really, really good team regardless. But they're also trying to compete for a championship. So every move they make is kind of strived toward that goal. And competing, and speaking of championships, the team who just won one, the Red Sox, you know, we don't have to talk about them too much, but they've had a pretty relatively quiet offseason. Really haven't really made any moves yet. And I think the biggest thing is that, you know, Joe Kelly, who was with them last year, signed with the Dodgers, 3-year deal. And Craig Kimbrell, who's still on the market, is, you know, who was their closer last year, is probably not going to come back. Maybe he will, but I don't think he will. So, you know, the one thing I have to say about the Red Sox is, and I understand they're already spending a bunch of money, is they've kind of made it clear that, well, you know, we don't want to spend too much and stuff like that. But, I mean, this is also kind of the last year they have a lot of, you know, their core-ish guys. You know, you're talking about, you know, Porcello and Bogarts and maybe J.D. Martinez and a couple other guys. And, I mean, you know, Chris Sale, too. Yeah, and so, I mean, they already know. So, this, like, it almost feels like, you know, maybe next year is the year you try to save money because you already know you're going to be taking a little bit of a step back. It feels like, if anything, right now, the Red Sox should be even going more all-in because they know they're going to lose a lot of these guys next year regardless. But, you know, I mean, we'll see. But, yeah, I mean, the bullpen would concern me right now. But, I mean, this is still a really, really talented team, especially offensively. But, you know, when you have a team like the Yankees in your division who is, you know, competing with you and is probably, you know, the second-best team in the AL – you really have to look at it and say to yourself, you know, we got to keep trying to make ourselves better. We can't just assume we're going to win another 100 games this year as currently constructed. You know, how do you feel about it? I mean, I'm not saying the Red Sox have to do anything crazy, but there are definitely some things I would be a little bit worried about if I were them.
I mean, yeah, like you said, I think there's a tendency when you win a World Series and you win 108 games, I think there's a tendency to just sort of go into a holding pattern. Like, you know, we're amazing, we're great. We don't need to do anything. Just keep the team together and let's try again. You know, they have been pretty quiet this offseason. Like you said, Joe Kelly left, but they retained Pierce and they retained Eovaldi. And Eovaldi has great numbers against the Yankees. And Pierce, you know, was shown to have a clutch bat, you know, and platoon at first with Mitch Moreland. So I do think that although they haven't made a huge splash, I also think that they are in a position where, you know, Rafael Devers is going to be in his second full year. I think he gets better, more consistent. I hope Dustin Pedroia comes back and can contribute as much as possible. But like you said, the obvious glaring deficiency right now has to be that bullpen. Matt Barnes has said he's ready to close games if need be. I don't know how comfortable I am with that, but it remains to be seen. Kimbrel wants the crazy money and the long deal, and the Red Sox have said we're not doing that. You know, do they come to some sort of compromise on a short-term deal? That remains to be seen. I think I would hope Kimbrel wants to, you know, I would, if I was Craig Kimbrel, I'd want to come back to this team. This is a great team. I think Kimbrel has had a lot of success here, but he also has a lot of suitors. So we'll see what happens there.
I will say this, in all honesty, I've forgotten about Eovaldi. They actually committed significant money to him, $68 million. That's something I would be worried about, too. I think Eovaldi is one of those guys who probably got paid a little more than he should have based on the postseason that he had.
Right.
And, you know, we'll see. I mean, he's been up and down his whole career. But again, I don't blame the Red Sox for doing that whatsoever. But I think, if anybody would have said that Eovaldi would have gotten $68 million in September, I think we all would have thought it was crazy. Their bullpen concerns me. You know, the fact that they haven't even kind of made even a small – it feels like they're kind of waiting for the Kimbrel brawl to drop to do anything else, because they know if they bring Kimbrel back, that's probably it spending for them. I mean, I would have liked to seen them make some smaller moves to their bullpen. I mean, you look at a guy like Justin Wilson, who's assigned for like $5 million a year with the Mets. Just like a smaller thing in general, you know. Like a Brad Brock wouldn't have been bad for them. You know, if you're not going to have Kimbrel, at least try to replace it with depth would have been the one thing that I kind of would be doing. But they seem to kind of be waiting this Kimbrel thing out. And the thing is, you can't wait it out too much longer. I mean, we're 3 weeks away from spring training, and, you know, Kimbrel seems like somebody who is going to hold out until he gets his money. And for me, the way I see Kimbrel signing is somebody blows out their arm in spring training, and all of a sudden those 3 or 4 year offers do start coming in for Craig Kimbrel. I personally wouldn't pay that much for a reliever, at least a closer, especially for what he's looking for. But if you told me a 1 or 2 year deal, well, I could get on board with that. But I don't think Kimbrel's looking for that, and nor should he. I mean, he's probably one of the best relievers of all time, and he's still good despite his numbers in the postseason. So we'll have to see with that, but I do think, you know, again, they're going to be really good, most likely, and they have one of the best players in baseball, so they're going to be fine. But it's also one of those things, when you're competing with the Yankees, you can't sit there and be complacent.
Well, I guess if we don't sign Kimbrel and we don't sign anybody and go into the season with Matt Barnes as our closer, I guess we kind of, after Barnes, it's sort of like, can we rely on Thornburg? I mean, we traded Thornburg for Will Middlebrooks a few years back, or not Middlebrooks, Travis Shaw to Milwaukee, and Shaw's had a couple great seasons, and Thornburg's been hurt and everything, so we haven't seen the best of him. And then there's Carson Smith, who got hurt this year in May, and he was out for the year, so I'm just wondering / hoping that those two guys can stay healthy and put together some sort of good year. I mean, when we traded for them, when the Red Sox acquired, you know, those two, they were like, Smith and Thornburg were like low-key, like two of the better relief arms. Like, they came off great. Like, they had great seasons. And I don't know if they could find that again, but I think that's something that we certainly, you know, the Red Sox fans will certainly hope they can find. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know when it's going to be back.
So. Yeah. I mean, I don't mind going into the season having some questions, but I think they need to make at least one or two more moves just for depth purposes. You know, you talk about the injury history with guys like Tyler Thornburg and Carson Smith. You know, if those are kind of the guys you're relying on and they get injured, then, you know, it's going to be hard. And the Red Sox, you know, they don't have – you know, this great minor league system where they can trade for all the best relievers at the deadline if they need it. And all their games are going to be extremely important because, you know, I mean, you can, you know, you know this from last year. I mean, winning the AL East is going to be so important because you avoid that wild card game. And I really do think this is the Red Sox, you know, this is they have a chance to win the World Series again very easily.
And then they kind of may have to take a little bit of a step back as they lose, you know, some of these guys. I'm surprised they haven't at least maybe tried to gauge the market on what, you know, Xander Bogaerts or, Porcello could get, just to even see. But, I mean, you know, both are making a decent amount of money, so, you know, I understand that. I'm going to talk about let's talk about some teams off seasons that, like, you know, we maybe don't like or feel like they haven't done enough. And the one that sticks out the most to me is the Dodgers. And I know this is weird saying this right after they just signed AJ Pollock this past week, but it feels like, you know, and look, the Dodgers again are a really good team, but it feels like, you know, this is a team that's, you know, been to the World Series the last 2 years, was one game away the year before, kind of got handled by the Red Sox this year. And, the trade with the Reds, I mean, it bothered me specifically because that trade was just all about money. They didn't get better from that trade. They just were trying to save money against the luxury tax. And it bothers me because the Dodgers print money. I mean, this is a team that, you know, could have a $300 million payroll if they wanted to. And yet they're making their team worse by just, you know, they could use a guy like Alex Wood. They've used Alex Wood a lot. You know, Puig has been a good player for them. And in all honesty, I'd rather have Puig than have AJ Pollock, who really can't stay healthy for the most part. And so, like, that's, like, the one thing. Is it's like they're operating, like, yeah, they do spend a lot of money already, but, I mean, this is the Dodgers here, and they're operating like, you know, with the Pollock deal, the way they structured it, they put a fake player option on the end of it so that it would, like, the average annual value would be lower and that it would count less against the luxury tax. Like, they're operating like this team that's so concerned about paying this small luxury tax bill. And, you know, and look, the Dodgers could do nothing and they'd still be the favorites in the NL West, but it's not about winning the NL West for them. It's about winning the World Series. And, I think Machado is going to be better this year than Seager will be coming off the surgery. It just kind of feels like, you know, and then with JT Realmuto too, you know, and they're in trade talks with them, they're so like, oh, we don't want to give up this guy. It's like, well, you have the chance to get the best catcher in baseball. And it just seems like to me that, yeah, like the Dodgers are going to kind of be good no matter what, but their lack of aggressiveness, you know, in this market, it definitely is bothersome to me. I mean, they went and got, you know, Joe Kelly, you know, okay, he's okay. You know, he had a good postseason, but he's never been that great. You know, and their bullpen was an issue in the playoffs last year, and it just kind of seems like they're just kind of like, yeah, we're going to throw what we have, and, you know, we're going to do it. It just seems like to me, it's kind of crazy to me that we're never in a Harper either. It just, I don't know. I get that they're a very shrewd organization. Andrew Friedman is very good at his job, and maybe I'm an idiot, but I wasn't a huge fan of the Pollock signing. The Kelly signing is eh. You know, again, I think you're paying for a lot of what you saw in October, not what he's actually been over his whole career. And just in general, it just is very underwhelming to me for a team that is trying to get over the top. You know, again, they're going to be really good, but it just feels like they haven't really been that aggressive. I mean, and then they kind of are penny pitching on the way there.
Well, the way I see it is like they finished last year tied with the Rockies, right? They had that one game playoff, and I feel like they haven't done anything to separate from the Rockies. You know, they got Pollock, which is, I mean, he's a decent player, and the Rockies got Daniel Murphy. So if you look at it like a one for one thing, like Dodgers
and,
made
and
their
they
one
got
move,
Pollock, but they lost Puig.
They lost Puig, right?
No.
So it's like.
And I think
how
Puig
much
is a better player.
Better.
I just, you know, yeah.
I just
and that's,
there's
you know,
no separation.
Yeah. I still think they're better than the Rockies, but yeah, you're right. I mean, this is a team that was one game away from having to play that wild card game. And with the Dodgers, again, you know, you lose Yasmani Grandal. You're replacing him with Barnes and now Russell Martin. That, you know, Grandal was really good. Like, you know, you're downgrading there. At second base, they kind of seem to just be going with, you know, whoever. I mean, they kind of they know they needed a second baseman. I mean, they've been saying, oh, we want this, like, impact right-hand bat. You go out and get Pollock again, a good player, but even when he's been healthy, it's not like he's been overwhelming. It just always struck me to me that they would be a perfect Harper team, especially after, you know, they kind of did the salary dump. I mean, you thought if they were doing a salary dump, it was so they could go out and spend, you know, more money. But, yeah, I mean, you know, again, they're going to be really good. They have Bellinger. They have Justin Turner. They have Clayton Kershaw, who they did re-sign, and I know that's not big news, but they did commit more money to Kershaw. They have Walker Buehler. It's a good team, but it just feels like the sense of urgency isn't there. Like, for JT Realmuto, their farm system is stacked. I would give up, you know, again, 2 years of JT Realmuto. You're trying to win the World Series right now. That guy could help you win it right now. I wouldn't be too concerned about hoarding all of my prospects, you know. And so, I mean, for me, if this team would have gone out this year and signed Harper and then traded for JT Realmuto, I'd be saying the Dodgers are going to win the World Series.
You know, I feel like there's a sense when you come up short in the World Series in back-to-back years, it's like, I don't know, it's like try something new. You know, like the Reds deal with Puig and Kemp and, you know, bring in Pollock. It's sort of like, it's not – like, if they don't sign Manny Machado, which I don't think they will, like, it's almost like you would think, oh, yeah, they need to go get Machado or whatever. But, like, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just, I feel like there's a sense that, like, we lost two consecutive World Series and just try something different. I don't know. It's like,
yeah.
They have a great
team.
Well, there's a
sense to be. They're very well positioned to be very good in the regular season because they have so much depth and they just are going to put good players on the field constantly. I do feel a little, I mean, and look, they could still do some things. And again, they're a team that always seems to add, you know, at the deadline. They've added a lot of pieces. They've added Machado, you know, they added Darvish. They've added other guys before at the deadline, like a Josh Reddick. They seem to do something every single year. But, yeah, I'd be a little bit underwhelmed with what they've done. But that's just me personally. The Cubs, too, it kind of feels like they're just kind of bringing the band back together. Again, really good team. But, you know, it just feels like there's just something just not quite right there. I probably would have tried to see if I could move on from a Schwarber or a Zobrist or just, you know, it just kind of feels like to me that you know, they kind of had too many position players. And again, I know they spent a bunch of money last offseason on Darvish and Chatwood, and they don't really have the budget. But again, they need relief help. And really, all they've done is they've gone and got Brock, which is fine. The Angels are another team. I mean, I like the like individual moves they made. You know, getting Harvey on a 1-year deal, getting Trevor Keuliel, saying, you know what, like all our starting pitchers get injured regardless. So we're just going to add more depth to the rotation, signing Cody Allen, hoping he can bounce back. They needed relief help, getting Jonathan Lucroy. But it still feels like to me, if you're the Angels, this is like, you know, you have Mike Trout in the prime of his career, you know, the best player in the baseball, the best player of his generation. It just doesn't seem like to me they're surrounding him with enough talent. They still have some holes in their lineup, I think. You know, they've never really truly committed to any one starting pitcher. You know, I always thought Keuchel would make sense for them, but they're probably out of the Keuchel race at this point. I don't know. It just, you know, it kind of feels like, you know, if you have Mike Trout and you only have him for 2 more years, you know, there are some guys that could, you know, that could help you, you know, who could play second, play third, play, you know, in the outfield, you know, help you in the bullpen. And they're just kind of, you know, I mean, they DFA'd Blake Parker, who had an ERA under 3 last year because they didn't want to pay him more than $4 million. It kind of just seems like, you know, you have Mike Trout. You talk about how important he is to you. And they've made some moves. And obviously the Ohtani move for them last year was a big one. But right now I'd be a little bit underwhelmed with what they have because this is a team that can spend, that has had a $200 million payroll right now. And right now they only have about 160. So they've shown that they can spend more. But it just kind of seems like to me, and also one last thing on the Angels, just a point, I would just cut Pujols if I were them. I mean, he's probably the worst position player in baseball right now. It just makes him better if he doesn't play every day. I know that would be really hard if he'd have to swallow the last 3 years of his deal, but he's so bad at this point that, like, having him out there every day is hurting your playoff chances. So, but I feel a little bit underwhelmed with what they have. I mean, they have a good team. They have guys like Upton and Simmons, but that rotation and their bullpen definitely is something that, you know, I just don't think that it's necessarily good enough to – they're going to be competing with the Astros. They're probably shooting for a wild card spot. But if you're looking in the next 2 years, will you still have Mike Trout? I'd be going all in on those 2 years. And again, you don't have to trade all your prospects away, but there's, you know, if you have to sign a Keuchel and sign a Moustakas, like, maybe that's the difference between you making the playoffs and not making the playoffs.
Well, here's what, like, when I look at the Angels, here's what kind of gets me and, like, worries me about, like, their prospects going forward, or, like, the prospect of the team going forward. Like, this is basically the same team they had. Remember last year when, like, they signed Upton and they, like, brought in Cozart and they brought in Kinsler? This is basically the same team minus Kinsler that everyone thought was going to make a run last year, right? And they finished, like, right around 500. So, in my opinion, they've gotten, like, worse. Like you said, Pujols is, like, practically dead weight at this point. I guess you play Boer every day. And I don't see this team doing much. I mean, Ohtani's going to DH all year, I guess. This team just doesn't impress me, and I don't think they're going anywhere fast, at least.
I mean,
and Trout's
think they're good. I think they have good pieces, but it just feels like, you know, again, this isn't going to happen. It's fairy tale land. You know, they're not going to spend this much money. But if I could just put, like, Keuchel and Kimbrel and Moustakas on this team, all of a sudden, then it's like, oh, man, the Angels are actually pretty good. But, you know, right now they don't really, you know, they're relying on a lot of depth for starting pitching. They don't really have, like, one guy who's really good. You know, their relief, you know, options to me are very iffy. I think their offense is going to be good, and their offense has, you know, for the most part, been good. I like bringing in Boer, especially if he can kind of play over Pujols. He's really good against righties. Again, they need some sort of option at second or third. I mean, Cozart can play both. So they could be a Marwin Gonzalez player or Mike Moustakas or, you know, whoever else is out there. But, yeah, I mean, it just feels like to me, you know, they've done a really good job because they tore apart their minor league system, you know, for a couple of years trying to, you know, go for it. And then they've done a good job of rebuilding it back up to decent value. The big problem is that a lot of their really good minor leaguers are single A and double A guys. So, you know, I don't mind holding on to people like that. But it's like, if you're not going to be willing to trade those guys, you should be willing to go out and get some guys who can improve your team. Because, again, I mean, if you have to sign a bunch of 2-year deals and just say, you know what, we're going to go for it with Mike Trout. We'll give Craig Kimbrel a 2-year deal. We'll give, you know, Dallas Keuchel a 2-year deal. We'll just, you know, we're going to go all in and then we're going to see what happens. I mean, that's what I would do if I were the Angels. But, you know, that's just me.
Yeah, we'll see, though. I mean, the Astros and the Mariners are, I think, still the Astros are head and shoulders above them, I think, and the Mariners are still above the Angels. So
I think the Mariners are taking a really big step back.
You think so?
I think the Angels are the second best team. I'm not a big believer in the A's, but, yeah.
I guess, yeah, when you lose Diaz and Cano, yeah, I guess the Mariners did take a big step back. So, I mean,
They lost Cano. They lost Segura. I mean, that's three all-stars from their team. They lost James Paxton. They're not the second best team in the division. The A's are another one. The A's are always going to be the A's, but I mean, the A's are even spending like record low for like A's level. They got away kind of last year with just kind of throwing guys at the wall, starting pitching wise. I don't know if they can do that this year. They brought back Fears. They signed Estrada. It still seems like to me they need another starter or two. I know they're going to kind of bullpen their way through this year, but, I mean, man, sometimes you just need arms, and they got an awful lot of production
out of guys like Edwin Jackson and Brett Anderson and Trevor Cahill last year, you know, that I just don't think they can replicate that again if they try to do that with these really like low-level arms. They're you know, there's just some players, you know, Chapman and Olsen and Piscotty and Chris Davis. You know, these guys are good, but you know, I don't think they're going to be a team who wins 97 games again this year. I think they're probably closer to like the middle of the pack. Let's just talk about the guys who are left on the market and just the market in general, and about, you know, Harper and Machado. You know, where do you think that each one of them ends up? You know, if you had to say it today, and how much do you think it's for? Do you think they get their 10-year deals, $200 million, or do you think it's maybe shorter but higher annual average value? Like, where do you think both these guys end up if I put a gun to your head right now?
I guess my gut feeling at this point is Harper will be a Philly on opening day. As far as the contract, I guess. I mean, if you're going to put me on the spot, I would say 8 years at 280. I don't know. I don't know what that comes out to. I'm just kind of spitballing here. But and then for Machado,
yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I mean that's fair. That's a fair.
And then for Manny Machado, I guess he's been linked to the White Sox more than anybody and the Phillies. You know, I don't see the White Sox as a good fit. Like, I generally don't think he would be his best in Chicago, but I guess I'll say the White Sox scoop him up, and I'll put Machado at, so I said 8 years, 280. Let's see. I don't know. Let's say 7 years, 250. So 7 years, 250 for Machado in Chicago, and 8 years, 280 for Harper in Philadelphia. I don't know how you feel about that.
Yeah, so I think that's probably a little rich just on the annual average value. I think they're probably going to get closer to more $30 million, like maybe like a 7 for 210 or something. But actually, I agree with both of the spots, and I think it's just because I just think Harper's going to end up going to the Phillies, and I think Machado is going to kind of be left out, and it's going to be, well, the Phillies aren't going to grab me anymore, and the Nationals were only in on Harper because they, you know, he's their franchise player. And so now if you're Machado, it's like, you know, if Harper signs first, it's the White Sox and then, like, the Padres. I mean, you know, and I mean, the one thing is, you know, with this market is, I mean, and you could see a surprise team step in, and that's definitely happened before, especially as the price maybe starts to go down a little bit. But I do think it is crazy, and it says something about this market, that two of the best players in baseball are – you know, free agents at 26 years old, and a lot of teams are just saying, nah, we don't want that. Which is crazy because, you know, the whole reason teams don't want free agents is because, oh, they're 30 or 31 and they're too old and we don't want to play for their declining years. You know, with Harper and Machado, you can pay for that and also pay for the star power. And I'll tell you this, Frank, there are about like 40 players, like 35 to 40 players in MLB history who accumulated, you know, like 30 wins above replacement, 30 WAR, before their age 26 season. All those people, except for one of them who's completed their career, is in the Hall of Fame. And two of those guys who are still playing are Machado and Harper. So we're talking about guys who have Hall of Fame track records, guys who are franchise changers. And you know, it just seems like to me it's crazy. Everybody thinks it's like, oh, you know, it's like you have to spend all $300 million at once. I mean, some of these teams are printing money. And, you know, I mean, if you look at revenue, for example, the revenue has basically tripled for the MLB in the last 20 years. And 20 years ago, Alex Rodriguez signed for $265 million. So if revenues have tripled,
If you do the math, Harper and Machado should be making like $800 million.
Yeah, that's a little bit extreme, but these teams are, you know, and I get, you know, the not the 10 years thing, but if I can get 7 or 8 years,
of, you know, that kind of production and that kind of, I mean, you know, they're talking about, like, on a Philly show I saw where it's like, you know, you sign Harper, all of a sudden, a day later, you get 5,000 people who want to buy season tickets. Yeah, and so if you're a team like the White Sox or the Padres, I mean, that's why you're interested, because you're these teams that have been relevant basically for the last decade. You have a bunch of money to spend because you ain't spending it on any of your players. Like, if anything, like, the reason it makes sense for the White Sox is because right now they're not spending any money anyways, you know? And you have this young team and you have this great farm system, and Machado is young enough for, you know, in a year or two when you really want to compete – he's still going to be in the prime of his career, and you're going to be bringing all these guys up and have Moncada and have Kopech and have Eloy Jimenez, and then you're going to be sitting there with Manny Machado, one of the best players in baseball. I mean, it makes sense for teams like that. And the other thing is, because the price is starting to go down, there should be a lot of teams who are in on Machado and on Harper, because if you can have that chance, you know, that's definitely difference making. And again, the complaint that, oh, they're not in the prime of their careers and, you know, we can't spend this much on one player. I mean, it's just, you know, I really think that, you know, we all thought that, like, last year every team was saving money to, because they wanted to make a run at Machado and Harper, and these guys are still out there, and it just kind of feels like, especially, it bothers me that only like one or two or three teams at most are in on both of these guys.
I mean, you never know, I guess. There's always the mystery team. And I mean, there's always, you know, I guess you can never count out the Yankees and Dodgers in any free agent, you know, market. I mean, they've said they're out, but you just never know. And, you know, even if, like, if Machado ends up in Chicago, like, Chicago isn't the city that you, like, think about, like, a superstar going to. You know, you think L.A. or, you know, New York or Boston. But I think
Machado, if you're going to go to Chicago, you go to the Cubs. Yeah.
Right.
You know, right. Chicago's a big market, but the Cubs are the big team.
Right, and I think Machado to the White Sox would be, I mean, fantastic for them. I mean, they haven't sold, you know, I feel like they haven't sold tickets since, you know, Frank Thomas or Mark Burley was on the team. I mean, there would finally be something to, you know, bring people in. And not to mention that division hasn't been that strong recently. So you bring in Machado, you start building around him, and all of a sudden, you know, the White Sox are a team that, in a weak division, that, you know, might have something to look forward to. You know, you never know, I guess, you know, how all that could go down.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's the other thing is, and then so many of these teams, you know, the Twins and the White Sox, like, all these teams have, like, almost no money committed going forward. And it's just like with the White Sox, I mean, you're in a weak division. The Indians are kind of taking a little bit of a step back, trying to cut payroll. You know, you could finish second this year in your division, and then in 2020 be the favorite if you sign a guy like Machado. And again, teams are just so wary to never – they want to extract so much value out of every deal they give. And if they give a penny more than they wish they didn't, that, you know, oh, they're going to be made fun of, and they're going to say they give out a bad deal. But when it comes to these guys, I mean, you know, you could get 4 or 5 win production for a 7-8-year period out of these guys. And if you look at, like, what teams pay for WAR – I mean, one win is like $8 million. So you're talking about, if you're having a 5-WAR season, that's production of about $40 million. So, like, when we talk about guys like Harper and Machado in this way, the reason they're asking for that much is because that's how much they're delivering to their roster. And so, yeah, I mean, I think with Harper, I do think there's a shot he ends up in the Nationals, but and the big question would be, is that 10-year, $300 million deal still on the table? And if not, then how do they work around that? I don't think he leaves the Nationals for less money. I don't think he goes to the Phillies for, you know, less money. You know, he's going to leave for greener pastures, you know. But again, like, I mean, we talked about the beginning, if the Phillies can – you know, the Phillies can add Harper and Machado, I think that makes them legit contenders.
So what's your Phillies – what's your Harper-Phillies contract? Because I know you just said, like, you know, as we go on here and they remain unsigned, they could be had at a bit of a discount. So at this point, like, what would you say if the Phillies signed Bryce Harper today?
I think the discount would probably be on years and maybe upping the annual value a little bit. I mean, on money in general, but, like, could, you know, so the highest contract for annual average value right now is Grinke's at $36 million, basically, $36.5 million. Well, Harper could be like, I want 40, but if you're going to give me 40, I'll sign for 5 years, so five for 200. You know, I think more teams would be interested in doing something like that. And that's when if you're a mystery team, you jump in. You know, I've heard rumblings that, like, the Astros, if they could get off of Josh Reddick's contract, would be interested in, like, a short-term deal for Harper. I mean, we'll see. I mean, I don't think, you know, I think Machado is – if anyone's going to take a short-term deal, I'd say it's Harper, because maybe you could say, all right, well, you know, he's coming off, like, not his greatest season. Maybe he wants to get back out on the market, or, you know, maybe he signs, like, a two-year deal and then gets back out on the market when there's a CBA change and teams are different about how they spend money. I just think it's an opportunity for teams if they want to come in and scoop it. And it doesn't help that, you know, the three biggest spenders in baseball, the Yankees, the Dodgers, and the Red Sox, all happen to just not be interested at these two marquee free agents at the time. Because if we're talking 5 or 10 years ago, the Red Sox, the Yankees, and the Dodgers are all in on these guys, and it's not even a question. And so that kind of definitely hurts their market.
Right. And I guess that's a good point. Like, people don't think about timing. Like, you know, a few years ago, the Red Sox would have been all in on Harper. And, you know, before Devers, the Red Sox would have been all in on Machado. Well, before Machado, I feel like a jerk, they would have been in on him. But, you know,
and
whatever.
And honestly, like, maybe it comes down to something creative. Like, you know what? The Red Sox try to reach an extension with Bogarts, and he's like, I want $200 million. And, like, well, we're never going to give you that. And so they pay Bogarts. They trade Bogarts for prospects, and then they sign Machado. I mean, stuff like that happens, you know, where they're like, you know what, we can get value for him right now, and then we can go get the star. But, yeah, I mean, we'll see. Again, I think it's going to be Harper on the Phillies, Machado on the White Sox. I think they'll probably sign – right around spring training, or maybe like a little bit into it, but it's weird because, you know, and then everyone's like, well, actually, we're waiting for next year when it's Arenado and, you know, these guys, and I think these guys are kind of face similar things, but, you know, and you're paying a lot of money to these guys, but you're paying them for their production, and even if you gave a 10-year deal to Harper or Machado, I mean, it ended at 36, but I mean, think of the production you're paying for from 26 to 32. I mean, you're paying for one of the best players in baseball. And you talked about how, well, maybe the Phillies are, you know, we texted about this, like maybe the Phillies are saving for Trout. I mean, you can't not make a move because of something that you may or may not do in 2 years. I mean, for all we know, Mike Trout could sign an extension later this year, and then all of a sudden you didn't make a move based on something that, you know, is out of your control. I think if you're like a team, like, you know, you have to do what's best for your team. And, you know, the other thing is when one third of the league isn't trying to win, there's no value in having a shot at Harper because you're literally trying to lose as many games as possible. You know, in other years, you know, maybe a team like the Orioles says, you know, we'll take Machado back, you know? But when a third of the league is literally doesn't care about winning, it's going to decrease the amount of offers along with, you know, the top buyers kind of not being in there.
Right. You're right. And the irony is, like, the Orioles could use a guy like Machado, but I mean, the way it all works is, you know, they're going with,
and he's still young enough that it's like, you know, he's still young enough to where he could help the rebuild, you know, exactly. But, you know, teams just don't see things that way. And, I mean, we could do a whole nother podcast on what is wrong with the system of the MLB and how it rewards losing and tanking. And not only losing and tanking, but being the absolute worst team is the best thing to do. I guess real quickly, just kind of some of the other free agents that are left there, and Kimbrel and Keuchel and Mike Moustakas and Marwin Gonzalez. It definitely bothers me a little bit too, because all these guys could help teams. I think Kimbrel's situation is maybe a little bit different. But Keuchel is the one guy who I know people have concerns about his velocity and stuff like that, but he's never been a guy who has thrown that hard in his career. He's proven over his years he's really good. It seems kind of like to me he's going to kind of be the Jake Arrieta of this class where we kind of look back and say, like, damn, like, why did, you know, he signed for, like, a three-year deal under value. You know, I wish my team could have done that.
Right. You know, I don't know at this point, like, what the market looks like for Keuchel because, you know, at one point it was all, like, Yankees, 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 and that didn't happen. But certainly Keuchel is a guy who, you know, has always relied on, like, that, you know, he's got that nasty curveball, or I think it's a curveball, and, you know, he certainly could help a lot of people, but it's sort of like there's no urgency. Well, I mean, there's urgency, but there's just nothing's happening here. And, you know, Marwin Gonzalez can move around the infield. I think he's even played the outfield. So it's sort of like these guys are here, not to mention a load of other people. And there's nothing. There's no noise or movement on any of these guys. It's sort of like Harper and Machado have taken over the market.
No.
And no one else is moving.
And the thing is, you can't really say Harper and Machado really slowing the market that much. Because the teams that are only a few teams in on Harper and Machado. So and it's
right,
not like
yeah,
the Phillies,
right.
If they don't sign Harper, you know, it's like they kind of are just, you know, and so, you know, people are saying, well, that's what's slowing down the market. But in reality, when only two or three teams are in on these teams, and one of these teams is the Nationals, who basically have done their spending, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, they're not really slowing down the market that much. Other teams, everybody is just trying to outweigh each other. I mean, there's plenty of good guys left. I mean, Adam Jones is a good outfielder left. Denard Span. I mean, you look at a team like the Indians. I mean, they are willing to run out, like, the worst outfield in baseball this year because they don't want to spend a dime on their outfield. And it's like, if you're the Indians, like, this is, like, the last year you may compete for a title and you're just willing to throw out, you know, this garbage because you don't want to spend $10 million more dollars. It's crazy to me. You're going to have Lindor and you're going to have Ramirez and then you're just going to have nothing, you know, and you're going to have starting pitching. And then they need bullpen help too, and they haven't done anything with their bullpen. It's just, there's just a lot of teams who are just very complacent. You know, everybody's trying to find the best possible deal out there. I'm like, you know what? If I'm a GM, I know I could sign two or three of these free agents right now and absolutely make my team better for 2019. But you know what? Like, when teams aren't trying to make their team better, or when they're like, well, does it marginally make my team better? Like, I want to increase my odds by 10 wins, not 4 wins. It's just kind of like, you know what? When you just when you have a shot, like, if you're a team with the Indians or the Angels or – You know, the Braves, it just kind of seems like to me, you just got to go for it. You don't know how long you're going to be good. You can't promise yourself that you're just going to keep producing talent out of the minor leagues. So, and that's the other thing is, you know, teams are so afraid to give up any type of quality in trades that it's like you're not going to trade for a guy like Real Muto because, oh my God, what if we lose the trade? It's like, well, do you think the Brewers are worried about giving up Lewis Brinson, who was a top 10 prospect? A top 10 prospect they gave up for Yelich. But, do you think they had buyer's remorse about that? And it's not always worth it, but it's one of those things where every GM is trying to win every single decision they make and trying to, like, have a perfect resume. That they're so afraid. I mean, look at the Red Sox. You know how many contracts the Red Sox blew over the years? You know, Ruznio Castillo, Pablo Sandoval. Until this year, David Price's contract didn't look that good. Dustin Pedroia's contract is dead weight at this point. And they still won the World Series.
And not to mention we have no farm system at this point.
And you have no farm system. There's no trophy that says we kept Yoan Moncada and Michael Kopech.
Right. Exactly. No, I
like, if they don't have Chris Sale, they don't win the World Series most likely. I mean, that's just the truth. And so I get why prospects are valuable, and especially if you're a team like the Padres right now. I'm not telling the Padres to trade all their prospects. They're not good right now. They don't, you know, that's not when you cash it in. But if you're the Braves or you're the Dodgers, you're good right now. You could win the World Series right now. You're just sitting on it. And eventually, as we sometimes see, these prospects, you know, they lose value, you know, if they don't start to perform, and all of a sudden then they don't have any value.
Yeah, it's just, it's all very, you know, it's the way that the game's become, and it's, I don't know, it's, I just can't wait for the season, to be honest, you know. It's, wherever Machado and Harper end up, I just, you know, I just want to see a good, you know, I want to see the Red Sox be, and I want to see, you know, hopefully Machado and Harper end up in the right spot. So it's all, you know, at this point, it's sort of like spring training's only a few weeks away, and the market will do what it will do, and, you know, we'll see what happens.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, it, and I think just one thing on Harper, in my heart, I'd like to see him back in a Nationals uniform. You know, have him play the rest of his career. Since he's been on the team, all they've done is won. He was part of their turnaround, turning into one of the better teams in Major League Baseball. And like, you know, you mentioned this earlier, but, you know, maybe this is the year that they break through in the playoffs and go to World Series. And it wouldn't quite feel the same if they did it without Harper. So that's, you know, the one thing about that is I know, you know, you don't want to give him too much money, but it's just kind of like, you know, Harper just definitely holds a special place, I think, in a lot of, like, people's hearts who are fans of the Nationals. So he goes to the playoffs.
Absolutely.
It's definitely going to sting. It's definitely going to sting. But it's also one of those things where it's going to be interesting, because if he goes for them less than the Nationals offered, then that's gonna be really hard. But if the Phillies just outbid for Harper, then there's nothing you can do about it.
Right, and you know, they put the offer on the table, and he said no. So you know, if they can make amends, they can make amends, and if not, then you know, you move on with Robles and Soto and Eaton, and you know, you make it work. Taylor's out there too, so
they're
gonna win some.
I mean, if they brought Harper back and they had an outfield of Robles and Soto and Harper, their lineup would be so nasty.
Three of them would be sick.
And Rendon too, and yeah, they'd be great. So I think we're gonna have to wrap this up, but. But yeah, this is always fun. I hope we can do this more often, especially as the season starts going. And just, it's always good to talk baseball, you know, especially in this this cold time of year where I try to remind myself of what it's like to see the sun.
Right, in the dead of winter with all the snow, baseball brings a bit of ray of hope, I guess.
Yeah, most definitely, most definitely. All right, Frank, I appreciate having you coming on. Obviously, you know, we can try to do this again, you know, when Harper, Machado, any other news comes up. You know what, spring training is 3 weeks away. It's kind of weird to say, but that's when pitchers and catchers report. And then the season isn't that far away either, to be honest. We're not that far away from opening day, about two months to be exact. So, it's always a good time, and we'll just have to see what happens.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jimmy. We certainly should do this again.
No problem, no problem. Yeah, you have a good night, man.
All right, take care.
Thanks for listening, guys. Again, this is the Seaman on Sports Podcast. My name is Jimmy Seaman. Covered a lot of the topics today with the MLB offseason. We got into it all, our winners and the losers so far. We talked about the market, you know, where Harper and Machado are going to go. You know, we're 2 months away from the season. There's still a lot left to be done in the offseason. We'll have to see what happens. But, hey, thank you guys for listening, and have a great night.